The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 178. Super excited to have a buddy of mine, Al Johnson, with us. Al and I go way back. He's one of the first guys that I reached out to as a 23-year-old head strength coach, looking and seeking out mentors and guys that I can learn from, guys that had been in the business for quite some time. And I always talk about making sure that you avoid, you know, some of the mistakes that other strength coaches have done. And that's one of the reasons why I asked the question on the show, you know, what's one of the biggest mistakes that they've made and how they've learned from it, so that as young strength coaches or strength coaches in general, if we can learn from other people's pitfalls, you know, we can avoid some of those mistakes and get to the end destination a little bit quicker. And at the end of the day, it's really not a destination. It's a journey. We all know that. But Al is a fantastic person. He's been at West Virginia. He's been at Ohio State. He's currently the head strength coach at East Tennessee State. And we get into a lot of things here. We talk a little bit about, you know, how he's been able to rejuvenate a program. East Tennessee, you know, had football, lost it, brought it back, you know, and so, you know, kind of balancing, you know, what had been done in the past with, you know, essentially having a startup program. We talk about, you know, the ways that he's gone about developing a staff and how he's, and one of the things we talk about too is not worrying about the logo that's on your chest, and just focusing on the job, and whether or not you're at Ohio State or East Tennessee State, you know, ultimately it's the same job, you know, and obviously there's different pressures and different things like that, but when you're staring at 105 faces that you have to lead, create the vision and set the culture and handle the accountability, those things don't change, and it's ultimately kind of why we got into this field, is making an impact on people's lives. And so I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode with Al, tons of one-liners. I wrote about 40 one-liners during this on my notes, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Before we do, though, I want to make sure we talk a little bit about the Play Summits. You know, we have the Play Summits coming up in 2017. We're going to be doing three in the United States, and we're going to be doing three internationally. And so I'm real excited about that. We're growing the summits internationally. I'll be announcing those things through Play social media. So make sure you're following us at Play_US. Stay up to date with what we have going on, because that's where we're going to be posting a lot of things. But we'll be releasing the locations, the dates, our sponsors, our partners in this, and a lot of things coming up very, very soon. But you want to start making sure that you're making plans to attend at least one of these. They're going to be fantastic, fantastic events, great networking, great education, and opportunities to get better as a strength coach, continue to sharpen the sword. And so place those on your calendar once they come out, and we'll make sure to see you at one of those events in 2017. Sit back, enjoy this episode, and we'll see you on the other side. Hey guys, real excited to have a good buddy of mine, Al Johnson, with us today. Al and I go way back, and he probably doesn't even know this, but he was extremely instrumental in my development as a young coach, as a young 23-year-old head strength coach. I think he came down for a bowl game or right, something. I can't remember what it was, how we first met, but, you know, West Virginia and all through his career, we've stayed in touch and spoken at a lot of conferences together, and I've learned from this man for the last, you know, almost 15, 16 years, you know, in this business. Yeah, no, right? but he's been a big influence in my career, and he had a chance to be on site in his weight room at East Tennessee State.
just the great things that he's doing down there. So, Coach, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Coach, I kind of talked a little bit about being at West Virginia, but, you know, let's go back. Let's figure out, you know, what got you into strength and conditioning in the first place, and then, you know, how, you know, the journey that you've taken to get to here at East Tennessee.
It's funny you ask that, because, you know, you think, okay, I wanted to be a doctor, but I ended up being a med tech or something. With strength and conditioning, the biggest thing, you know, I'd wanted to be a football coach, and so I applied to 60 different, coming out of college, about 3 years, I coached high school, et cetera, for 3 years. In Southeastern Ohio, so I wanted to be a football coach. So I applied to 60 schools, and I got rejected or no response from 59 of them. So the 60th
like my story.
The 60th one, you know, Georgetown College in Kentucky, went there, interviewed for the job, liked it, it was good, just got married like 2 years before, I don't know if this is the right job. Anyway, they say the head coach got fired the next year, so I would have been with him. And so the only position I applied for strength conditioning was at West Virginia University. Applied for that. Dave Van Honger was head strength coach at the time.
Georgia State.
And so the only one I applied for, I got. That's pretty cool. So I went back. That's what got me in strength conditioning. I was powerlifting for like 3 years, and I played college football D2. And so that's what really drove me that route. And you know, you wonder how things happen. Man, I was hell-bent on being a football coach. And so when I got that, and that window, so many doors were shut, and this door opened, I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I got my master's. So I went there, and so I was a GA for a year and a half. Coach Van Honger left, went to Florida State, and I was the interim strength coach. I was hired in August. They said, we're going to make a decision in December. And I was 26 years old at the time, and I said, I can do this. So I had myself, I had one GA, we had three weight rooms with 21 teams. You've been there, done that. Many of you have been there, done that. And so I went there, and you know, I was married, just got married, and taking this graduate assistant position. So about 2 months in, the AD calls me and says, hey, Al, you know, we want to lift the interim title. We want to hire the head strength. This is like November, first of November, semester's over, mid-December. I said, well, all due respect, Mr. Schaus. Fred Schaus was the AD this year, was with the Lakers, et cetera. I said, all due respect, I said, I can't accept it. And he goes, why? I said, well, our terms was that, hey, you know, December would make his call. And I said, I want to finish the deal. And I said, you know, we both feel the same way. December, accept it. So he looks at me like, I'd like you to please submit to a drug test.
Yeah, right.
And basically, and so what it was, and then the job was like 16.5 a year, which, you know, obviously, you know, early 80s, that's not bad, a decent, nothing big. So anyway, long story short, he says, okay. He goes, I just hope the job is still here for you in December. I said, hope it is too soon. And so anyway, so I finished out another 5 weeks. And so he brought me in again. He says, I'm going to offer you the job again. This is the only, I'm only going to offer it one more time. He says, are you interested? I said, absolutely. He goes, I'll tell you what, I've never had anyone ever turn me down, offered him a job, and said, hey, wait another month, keep reevaluating. And he says, you know what, since 16.5, I'm going to give you $25,000. Because I've never had anybody do that. So that
paid off,
and it began my journey in the profession. So I stayed there 7 years. We played national championship in 88 against Notre Dame, et cetera. Ended up getting beat in the national championship game. But after the national championship game, a few months before that, the Baltimore Orioles came knocking, and you know, I thought it was a joke. I thought, wait, come on, strength coach, what's a strength coach going to do in baseball?
Right.
And so this was fall of 1988. And so after the national championship game, they flew me to Baltimore. I was looking for a t-shirt and a hat. I was like, you know, I'm a big Orioles fan. So this is pretty cool. I don't care about the job. So I go there. So long story short, I end up taking the job, coming back and shocking the people of West Virginia. So I go to baseball for 4 years. I was fortunate. I was the third baseball strength coach, the third strength coach in all baseball. Warren Sipp was with the Pirates.
Yeah.
Timmy Wilson,
yeah,
was with the White Sox. And so went there, and I mean, what a crazy, crazy nomadic lifestyle. I had 6 minor league teams plus a major league team. And so I'm constantly traveling. I mean, I'm traveling all the country. There's zigzags from Rochester, New York, back to Oakland, back to Maryland, all these different places. So I did that for 4 years. And so my old job came open. I I said, man, I need some normalcy. I mean, I'd rather grind 12, 13 hours a day, be in one spot, work with 21 teams, have three weight rooms, all these things. And so I went back there for, 6 years. And in 6 years, our head coach, football coach, John Daly, was retiring. And, you know, I wanted to stay there. I'd like to stay there because I'm a career for several years at West Virginia. I got the opportunity to go to high state. So I went to high state with Jim Trussell. What an unbelievable experience. It was, went there, I said, with Coach Trussell for 5 years, part of the national championship team, coaching staff. Great athletes, elite athletes. You know, people say, what's the difference, coach, between, you know, going from West Virginia University, where you had a lot of success, your teams, going to Ohio State? I said, well, let me sum it up in just a couple of sentences. One, at West Virginia, in 13 years, I had one guy jump over 40 inches in a vertical jump. I go to Ohio State, first day of test, I got four guys. The first day, jumping over 40. So I'm like, oh, wow, bigger fishbowl, bigger, you know, very elite athletes. So I'm there for 5 years, and then I get out of profession. Get out of the profession for 4 years, Velocity Sports Performance, high school athletic director, and then I the opportunity to get back in the gym, I missed it. You know, I didn't do well.
Yeah.
My wife told me, she's, you know, you're not going to make it anymore. I said, probably not. I said, the things I'm not seeing people that can communicate, they can't organize, they can't motivate.
Right, sure.
I said, this is driving me crazy. I said, the thing I don't feel is, I didn't feel like people, you know, I was in the Boston Sports Project, which was good. I spent a lot of time, was good. I didn't think people were on the same team.
Right.
You know, we're in the same company, we're on the same team.
Sure.
And so I tell people, you know, I was institutionalized. I used that term, as institutionalized for 23 years. And we all knew, well, we're the same college, we're all the same mission, we're all the same goals, we're all working the same purpose. And I get out in the private sector and I'm thinking, man, we're all wearing the same colors, but I don't know if we're on the same team. And it just really, for me, it was tough. It was really tough. Really tough. And so the opportunity presented itself to get back in. And so job came up at Northwestern University. Jay Hooten was a former GA from Ohio State. He worked for me like 7 years before. He gets elevated to the head job and says, Coach, you're probably not going to answer. You're probably not interested. But Coach Pat Fitzgerald said, hey, Jay, if you bring one guy in, who is it? He said, me. He said, Coach, you're not going to be that guy. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to get paid like a head guy. I said, I don't care. Just send me a bus ticket. I'm there. And so Coach Fitzgerald, he interviews me like, wait a minute, you're 20 years older than Jay.
Why?
Crap, you want to look at this job? I said, Coach, I want to get back in the jungle. I want to help make Jay better. I want to help make your program better. I want to help you win. And my second year there, we were fortunate. We won 10 games for only the second time in 63 seasons with Northwestern and beat Mississippi State in a bowl game. And so that was 2.5 years. Coach Lee Morrow here at East Tennessee State, who was the head strength coach, had just resigned, was in athletic facilities, and said, hey, Coach, there's a job open here. Are you interested? I said, absolutely. He said, Coach, he goes, we're not paying you like the Big Ten. He goes, you don't have facilities like Big Ten. He goes, you want athletes like Big Ten. I said, fine, even more. And the thing with this, which has been great, you know, this evolution, I probably had more fun. This has been a much more worthwhile experience than anything I've ever had. I wouldn't trade the experience I have. Do I have everything I need? Yes. Do I have everything I want? No. But the thing I can tell you, I probably have what I do, and being able to have an impact is greater here than any place I've ever been.
Sure.
I wouldn't trade this experience for winning an NCAA championship. I would trade this experience for West Virginia or the Baltimore's. What I've been able to do, what we've been able to do, create a culture here. We're raising a child from birth.
Right.
And now that child's only 2.5 years old right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So we started in fall 14, we had 86 kids, and we didn't practice against ourselves. We didn't have teams play against, and we looked at each other, we were sick of each other, we're tired of each other, and just kept them going.
Right.
And in fact, the weight room you're in now, you know, this weight room was here, we had no weight plates. So all the weight equipment came in, we had all the weight equipment, we had no weight plates. It was 8 weeks backward. We had 3 tons of steel plates, 6 bars, and 10 pieces of hammer equipment that we would load and unload each day. Our kids would carry 2.5 to 3 tons of weight plates every day.
That's right.
And so, and we practiced 4 days a week, and so they were doing like 2 days. We weren't playing against anybody. And so, you know, that fall, we got weight plates. We brought them in. We started training the room, but we stuck these weight plates in a corner over here for about 8 months as a reminder that, hey, as quick as it comes and all these bells, whistles, and all this nice equipment, can go away, because if your effort doesn't dictate excellence, boom, we can carry those weight cuts right back out and go at it again. So fortunately, kids, and we never had to resort to that, but the kids have been awesome. They worked hard. It was unbelievable. But the kids have just been outstanding. They've been outstanding, and we're going in the right direction. We've worked developing, creating. And, you know, it's actually made me a better strength coach, I believe, because I have to be patient. I have to be more creative. I've had to become more of a, you know, more of a mentor, even more of a psychologist as a coach than I've ever been in my whole career. So it's been a great journey. I wouldn't trade it. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful places in the world, I think. And, you know, I was from West Virginia, Mountain State. Here I'm in Tennessee. I mean, this is definitely where I'm at in East Tennessee. It's a mountain.
Sure. No, there's tons to dig into there, Coach. And, you know, one of the things I want to focus on first is through that process, I mean, being that young coach, and maybe now you may not have that same piece of advice for that young coach to turn down the job, at, you know, then come back. You've made some mistakes along the way. What's maybe been one of the biggest mistakes you've made and kind of how you learned from it?
Jeez, I don't know if you got enough tape here, Ron. You know what? I tell you what. You know what? I think, you know, I enjoyed my experience with Baltimore. I really enjoyed it. But you know what? And looking back, I should have stayed at West Virginia. A great situation. You know, I loved it. I mean, but it was just, you know, I bit off more than I could chew. I had 6 minor league team plus a major league team. You know, back then we didn't have an intern or strength coach in the city. You know, I'm flying in, and you know, I'm zigzagging all over the country. I mean, I was going from January to almost November.
Sure.
And it was a zigzag. You know, that respect, I love baseball. I love the camaraderie. I love the enthusiasm. I love the enthusiasm of the baseball athlete. But it was just so much. And I think, you know, during that time, I look back and I think, you know, I guess Sonny's 28 now. I mean, I was in baseball for 4 years. And I think I missed 4 years of his life.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's one of the biggest regrets I'd say as a coach that I've had. Is it, you know, sure, it's great and it's illustrious and you're flying in and out of here and you're on LA and you're on Universal Studios and you're watching movies being made and you're meeting, you know, from time to time, and here's Kevin Costner, here's Tom Sully taking BP with you, and all those things are great, but you know, at the end of the day, you still want to go home, your family, your children, whatever, and spend more time with them. That's probably the biggest regret, because I think the one word I think I found it right today and I realized is balance.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we as coaches, I think, actually any occupation, especially coaches, you know, young coaches don't understand, because you know they're like, man, they're burning the candle both ends, and they're just going, going, going. But I think balance is a key. I think balance in your life. I think balance, you know, your priorities. Okay, you know, it's the family first. It's not the job first. And, you know, early in my career, I was a workaholic, and I think that you know, finding balance has been a blessing.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Balance and just making the big time where you're at. Sometimes you don't realize, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, in this field, having longevity at a place and being able to really pull yourself into and have pride in a place is, it's rare. You know, because instead of being hired assassins, you know, you want to go in and you really want to set some roots and feel like you're battling with people, like we were talking about either earlier on campus. You came into a situation here, you know, they had football for several years. They dropped it in 2003, picked it back up in 2014. You know, and it's almost, I mean, it's basically had to start from scratch again, you know. How did you come into a situation where you had to practice for a year? You had probably 80-something freshmen, you know, or underclassmen in the program. How did you come in, set a culture, develop leadership and kind of just, you know, set your standards of expectations with a group that really didn't know what they were getting themselves into?
Teaspoons. You know, every place you've been, we use shovels. You know, here I found that, you know, I was feeding babies. I was feeding children. You know, I wasn't working with men. I wasn't working with 18 to 22 year olds. I was working with 17, 18 year olds when I got here. So teaspoons, you know, I start feeding them daily with teaspoons in terms of knowledge and expectations and creating a culture and that attitude controls effort. Your attitude controls your effort, and taking it methodically and slowly in terms of each day. And you know, the biggest thing I think with me with here, the greatest thing I've learned, the lesson I've learned is patience, because I've had to be patient, because I don't have everything. I have everything I need, and it's made me a better strength coach because I've had to improvise and be creative and, you know, look around and say, okay, I don't have 6 prowlers. I've only got 3.
Right.
So how are you going to make this work with 110 guys? And we've all faced a situation where we don't have strength. But with that, and then we started, you know, I didn't have juniors and seniors, and I had, you know, they were looking more at, you know, at me and our other coaches as mentors, you know, like, what do we do? And you know, one question I got when in the last season, the first season, the last year, 2015, the question that stopped me dead in my tracks as a coach, I never got this question before. But young, they're all young, they're having a series of coaching. We're getting ready to play our first game last year against Kennesaw State. This kid comes up to me, he's coaching. He goes, Coach, how are we going to do this year? Are we going to win any games, Coach? And I'm like, wow. Talking about stopping dead tracks, I said, yes. Games. I said, we're going to get as our work students desire. I said, so, you know, I said, our hard work, our attitude, our effort, and our persistence. I said, we're going to win games. I don't know how many.
Sure.
I said, you know, it's going to be a lesson. This season is going to be a lesson that's going to help us in the 2016 season. I said, but we're going to develop and we're going to create. And guess what? We're all in this together. And so that was the thing with these guys was, you know, it's a security thing. Putting a blanket around and saying, you know what, we're going to be okay. You know, our success this season, 2015 season last year, is not dictated, mandated by the scoreboard.
Right.
It's about taking spoons, and then we go to a tablespoon. You know, then we go to a bucket. Then we go to a shovel. I said, all those things are just, it's a process. But the thing you got to realize, we're all in it together. You know, when we're successful, we're all successful together. We did it together.
Right.
And that's the thing. I saw them. I was like, hey, when we stub our toe, we're not successful. We need to work hard. We need to do more. And so I think that assurance of that has helped us. But also, like when you mentioned about leadership, you know, that's been the hardest nut to crack because they're all 18 year olds now. They're 19 now. They're 20, and now we've got some. You know, starting to get some, you know, some juniors, redshirt sophomores, and peer grouping them and putting them in groups, and then you know the accountability. Like let's say 3 to 4 guys to a racket. Having a rack leader and then having a group, you know, like the leader's responsible for the three guys responsible for the leader, evaluating each other. Hey, what can we do better? What do you think about? What can we do to make it better? And making, and you know, the biggest thing is, as we all would do, is even at young age, I'm slowly, first year, I didn't give much ownership because you're young and you're dumb. And everything you learn about strength is at this point, to lead it from the heart.
Right.
You know, we're doing it my way. I'm picking people that work for you at young age, coaches, whatever. I mean, one time about 20 years ago, West Virginia ran railroad spike up to the bottom of my foot. It's 100 tie put in, filled up a railroad tie wall behind the back, behind my garage. And I had that emergency surgery. The next day, you know, I'm going to crutch it in. I'm going to work.
Right.
You know, and my wife said, wait a minute, TV time. You ain't going to work, dude. You're not going to work for about 5 days. You ain't working. He's like, no. Hey, I'm going. She goes, no, you're not. She goes, we're going to find out what kind of leader you are. We're going to find out if you hired the right people. We're going to find out, you know, if you've done what you should be doing and teaching and mentoring, we'll find a thing here at the torch. I was like, oh, good point. I got 3 GAs here. They do a tremendous job. They work hard. They give them a lot of responsibility. With that, it keeps me current. It keeps me current on so much stuff in terms of not so much professional as it does social. And so it keeps me current, and it's good, and it's it helps me. You know, I don't have to research, you know, what's going on, social media, whatever. I mean, I got 3 guys that keep me up to date every day.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know what, that's a, I'd rather spend time on reading or watching your podcast or watching, or reading things, being on training and people and leadership and motivation than worried about social media. So those guys keep me current. And that's been a real blessing.
Well, I always talk about, that's what I wrote about in my book, was that, you know, you go through 3 evolutions and 3 things make you successful as a strength coach, being a great technician, a great manager, and a great entrepreneur. And that's what GAs are. They're great technicians. They're learning the skill. They're researching like crazy. They're constantly bringing information in. Well, then a skilled manager or an entrepreneur can take that information and practically apply it in the best sense of the way. And so I couldn't agree with you more. I always say that I want to hire head strength coaches. I don't want a career assistants.
Right.
You know, so I expect them to move on.
Right.
You know, and be able to feed from that. you know, part of taking this job, you and I both, we've been at the highest levels, and we've been at you know, what people would generally not classify as their dream jobs. But in a lot of ways, we've, like you said, you wouldn't trade this experience for anything.
Not at all.
You've had to get over, at some point in your career, you had to get over the logo on your chest. You know, and I think that's an important thing with coaches is getting over what logo's on your chest. They're just doing a great job where you're at. What advice would you give to a young coach that their sights are only on the NFL or Major League Baseball or major college sports? What advice would you give that young coach?
They're not going to make it. You're not going to make it because if you fall short of that goal, and I'm not saying don't have goals, but if you fall short, that's your only goal. You don't make it. There's trials and tribulations along the way. You know, how are you going to handle adversity? How are you going to handle that you're going to go to Wichita State at Dayton?
Right.
You know, how are you going to handle that? I mean, what you got to do is you know, like, you brought a great point. The logo on the chest is just a letter. What it means is symbolic of where you're at then. You got to make the best of where you're at. I mean, too many people sit on a bitch, whine, complain about, man, I'm here, I should be there, this guy got this job, whatever. I tell you what, go out and take it and seize the moment. Go get it. If that's important to you, go get it. But you know what? What I'm seeing, you know, hey, I'm on the back. I'm not on the back nine yet. People say, man, you're on the back nine. Hell, I'm on the back nine. I'm on the back 12, okay? Anyway, I'm playing. But I'm just saying, you know what? Pay your dues. Okay, if you want to shoot the moon, you want to go to the NFL, or you want to go to Notre Dame, or wherever you want to go, that's fine. But you know what? Take the steps, the initial steps to get there. I mean, don't joke. You can't go from A to Z. B through. X has got to be there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through there. But I'm just saying, pay your dues. Pay your dues and merit the opportunity to be there. And with that becomes, you know, my book, and I think you'd agree too, is, you know, building relationships. Number two is have a passion for what you do. Number three, I'm not hiring anybody that looks at the clock. If they come in and they're looking at the clock, they're not there, so they're going to have a short shelf life. And then the fourth thing is loyalty. Yeah, man, if they ain't loyal, I'm going to tell you what, if there's a chink in your armor, and you work for me, and I even smell disloyalty, boom, you're done, you're gone. Because that's the one thing, is that, you know, loyalty sometimes, I hope it's a two-way street. As things evolve, and as we go on in today's society, a lot of times loyalty is only one way.
Right.
You know, and you think, look at an employer, you know what I'm saying, man, hey, we're all in it together, whatever, and then push comes to shove, like, new head coach comes in, like, you've been there 6 years, 5 years, 9 years, 10 years, whatever, and I'd say, oh, we're sorry, Johnny, but you know, you can't stay here. New head coach coming, he's praying a guy. He used to throw rocks through a window in East LA. He's going to be a strength coach. You have more knowledge. He's only 3 years in the business, but that's the way it is. You know, so loyalty, you know, goes very deep.
I think it's so important. You know, the loyalty piece, it's so, you know, it's easy. And you mentioned this throughout, you know, it's easy to do the job when you're at an Ohio State, at a Tennessee, or at an, you know, it's not, I mean, it has its own challenges, don't get us wrong, but, you know, you really find out what you're made of, what you're, you know, what your metal when you're in a situation where you're working 17 sports and you're the only coach, or you're having, you're being told that you don't have the money for equipment or whatever. That's when you find out, and, you know, it's really when you define whether or not you truly have a passion for the job or not, because this profession is going to, it's a roller coaster ride of ups and downs and twists and turns, and you're right. If you have one foot out at any point, then you're done.
You
won't make it.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Well, Coach, we end the show with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Wow. You know, be yourself. Be honest. You know, don't be a BSer. If you don't know the answer, kid asks you a question, don't BS it. Say, I don't know. I'm going to find out. And I think that you treat people, treat kids the way you want yourself treated, what you want treated, or your own kids. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not about strength and conditioning. At the end of the day, when you walk out that weight room, it's not about the room. It's not about the sport. It's about being a person. You know, and you know, talk to the kids. Talk to your kids about things other than sports and athletics. And you know, Tim Trussell is one of the best I've ever been around with that. We'd evolve, and we'd talk to kids, we'd talk to players about, you know, about your grandma, or, you know, for me, I get a detailed reports. We do this once or twice a year at East Tennessee State. I want detailed backgrounds on these kids.
Right.
I mean, there may be a coach recruited him, and I don't want to find out 2 years later that he was, you know, he was an orphan.
Right,
or
sure.
His mother's in is in prison for life. I might want to know that up front, because my approach, I'm not saying from accountability perspective, but I want to know that stuff up front. That way it helps me in terms of motivating, communicating, and developing a relationship.
Right. When you have those conversations or you admit that you don't have the answer, you humble yourself, you humanize yourself with the athletes, and ultimately that's what they want to know.
Yeah.
They want to know that you're in it with them, as opposed to you're just some voice at the top of a podium saying, do this.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
I tell you what, I'm really into right now, really into John Gould.
Yeah.
I really like the You Win in the Locker Room.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Everything I can pick up. And I think from a mental perspective, because if you think about it, you know, as coaches, you know, we're really used car salesmen.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do, we're trying to get them to buy a vehicle and build enough trust. We're not going to let them go out and test drive it. Build enough trust. Or you're going to tell them it's got four doors, it's got engines, it's got windows. And all they can do, they're going to give you $600, whatever it is, and trust you enough to go out and take the keys and turn the ignition.
Right.
So if you can build that relationship with your kids, and that's why I'm more into the mental aspect of psyche of training and things and motivation with the kids, because if at the end of the day, we're all doing X and O's, we're doing them the same way, or we're doing them differently, or we're, you know, I've got X, Y, Z, and you got C, D, E.
Sure.
And those things are, a lot of things are compatible. You know, as far as an app, for me, as an app personally, Countdown.
Yeah.
I do Countdown. I set goals. I have Countdown. I have, you know, goals or things that they're approaching, and it gives me a countdown, which is a countdown to kickoff, or it's a countdown to a task, or it's a countdown to a goal I have. And so I constantly change. I've got 6 or 8 different countdowns on my Countdown app that alert me, hey, I've got 2 days, 17 hours, or 22 minutes to achieve, or before that event happens. So that keeps me going mentally.
Yeah, that's good.
And then, you know, website, gosh, darn, you didn't even ask me that question. There's so many out there. You know, I really like your website. I like what you've done in terms of the podcast and the Chalk Talks, because I think it's invaluable for young strength coaches, but not just young strength coaches. I mean, I tell you what, I love recycling. You know, you recycle things and you hear things and you know about it, but then, you know, we all go along with the plan, and then for whatever reason, 2 years later, you know, we've deviated a little bit, we tweaked it, whatever, but then there's things about, like, why did I ever change? There's not one website, but you know, those are the things that kind of keep me going. You know, as a strength coach, I mean, we, I think one of the greatest inventions is Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can find out so much information with Twitter and see things that are out there. Well, I tell you one of the best. One of the best Twitter pages that I find that I really like is Post Recovery. And a lot of brilliant ideas, innovative ideas for recovery from athletes.
Good idea. Check that one out. Well, Coach, you guys can probably hear from the background, we're in the weight room, got basketball training. What Coach is building down here is something special. He's doing a great job, fantastic facility. You know, he's training the staff up the right way. And just it's something that he's done everywhere he's ever been. Pours his heart and soul into places, and one of the things that I respect the most about him. So I really appreciate you coming on the show, Coach.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
One last thing. We mentioned jobs. You know what? I've never felt I had a job. It's always been a passion. And for me, that's what's kept me driven. Many people say, man, I got this job, this job, whatever. I don't worry about that. It's the passion. You brought that up earlier. It's the passion to stay driven. And we all know when whatever location we're in, when that thing flames out,
sure.
The flame goes out. But I can tell you, you know, I've never ever felt like, man, this is it. Now I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this. I don't know how much longer I'm going to coach. I mean, I'm going to go. I'm probably going to die on the job because I love interaction with coaching and athletes and, you know, just the atmosphere. And it's never been a job. It's been a passion.
Wise words right there. Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing.
If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.